Hello, everyone. Mike the DM here. No, it's not in your imagination. At the beginning of the combat, we paused the recording and lost several rounds, but it's barely noticeable and hopefully won't take away from your enjoyment. Have a good episode!
You killed like half of one wolf.
And half the spider.
You killed like the butt of the wolf.
And all you did was throw darts in butts.
Initially, you're panicked, but then as you look up, you see a giant airship gliding overhead.
I'm wearing the red shirt, he's wearing the brown pants.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. Oh, he didn't do
the
it.
The cutest DM you've never seen.
Chapter 2, off to Waterfall City.
Okay, so it's the next morning, and you guys wake up. Arlen, your farmer's internal alarm clock wakes you up at dawn,
and you kind of
realize with some relief that you don't have to go milk the cows.
Yeah,
kind of nice. You do hear noises about the house though, and you realize that the family is up. For the monks, you guys always had to rise early. However, you guys are a little bit behind the families, and when you come out in the kitchen, you guys just find there's, you know, a pot full of porridge on the stove, that sort of thing. Arlen, you come out, and the family is already, they've got eggs and sausages, that sort of thing, going. For Gwen and Alistair, you guys wake up a little later. And, you know, you find some bacon still vaguely warm on the stove. Alistair, you just find some hot cereal on the stove waiting for you.
So some of us get some porridge. Others get, like, this gourmet, like, buffet.
Yeah. That's pretty nice.
He's got his farmer's card. Well, so
when you actually kill something next time we fight, you'll get some good food, too. Yeah.
I think I've killed the most things.
Yeah.
You smacked him upside the head.
I killed like three things. I killed the spider and two wolves.
You didn't
she
kill
killed
the
spider.
Spider.
I killed the two wolves.
I killed two wolves.
You killed
and half
you,
a spider.
You killed like half of one wolf.
And half a spider.
You killed like the butt of the wolf.
And all you did was throw darts in butts.
Yeah, but I grappled the wolf. Come on.
And then you died.
You're like, I've got your throat.
We don't talk about that part.
Okay, moving on.
So, after a short amount of time, you guys actually hear a knock at the door, and a small boy is at the door. When you open it up, Noan, he squeals in alarm. same with you, Gwen. And
I arch a skilly eyebrow.
And he stammers out that you guys are needed at the recruitment office. Please go down there right away.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead down there. Looking for a druid or a ranger along the way. Or what, some
Arlen,
of
you before you go out the door,
one.
Though, the family that's is putting you up, they say, please don't think we're being presumptuous, but we couldn't help but notice that your farmer's attire is a little worn. Would you please take these robes instead?
Thank you.
And they're nothing fancy. They're kind of
neither is he.
You know, something that maybe you know any friar or caster would maybe be wearing. But you know, some basic brown muslin robes. But they don't have patches and holes like your overalls did.
And they are also beige.
Oh my gosh!
No, they're deep brown.
Yay.
He's dark got the right beige. Idea.
They're a little threadbare in a couple.
I'm wearing the red shirt. He's wearing the brown pants.
Well, at least the way he dies.
Okay. One by one, you guys all assemble at the thing. Oh, by the way, everyone gets their hit die back. If anybody's still down in hit points, you can use that hit die to change your bandages and try to get back.
I get all my lay on hands back. Yay, so I'm up to five.
Woohoo. We're so proud of you.
Okay. And finally, you guys all assemble. Did anybody need to use their hit die?
No.
Ireland did?
Yeah, I did too.
Okay, and how close are you guys to full?
I'm full.
Full.
Okay. So, changing the bandages, good night's sleep, you feel much better in the morning. You guys return to the recruitment office, and the recruiter is there again. This time, however, he's flanked by three elderly men and women from the that you've seen walking around. They seem to be well-to-do. And the recruiter stands and comes in, shakes your hands, and says, oh, good, 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 you finally made it. These are our town council. And he waves his hands over towards the assembled elderly folks. And they have been most impressed by your defeat of the rampaging wolves that have been plaguing us. And they have a favor to ask of you. He says, and old guy in the middle steps forward and kind of gives you a head bob, sort of a bow.
Not back.
And he says, yes, we are most impressed of your ability to drive those vicious wolves out of our territory. So far, we've had no overnight reports of wolves, so you may have gotten the only pack in the area. Hopefully the folks there will be able to follow in your footsteps. We would ask of you to do us a favor. Things aren't well here. Well, you know that. And we have this petition, and he holds up a vellum scroll, to be brought to the barons over in Civitas Cataracta. Would you be good enough to brave the dangers of the road and take it to them?
I think we're up to it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or some of us are up to it.
Very good, very good. He just is like holding the scroll out and waving it back and forth, doesn't sure which one to give
I'll
it
take
to.
It.
So he hands it to Alistair. You may add one vellum scroll to your inventory.
Wow. I'll put it down as petition.
There we go. He says, we can't thank you nearly enough. Please hurry back with whatever help the Baron can give. We know it's stressful times, but certainly the Baron will want to reward such a loyal town as Lowford. We've prepared these packets for you, and he hands you what looks to be about 3 days' worth of trail rations, and you have our blessings upon you. May you return swiftly.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Please represent us as well as you can.
Gwen rolls his eyes, just walks out.
And you take off on the roadway. Mm-hmm. Now, Lowford is named quite aptly. It is sitting right next to a tributary of the great river that comes out of Civitas Cataracta, and it is a ford right there. You guys are able to wade across without getting too wet, and are on the other side and away up the roadway.
Just washed your hands.
And it's a good 30 miles to Civitas Cataracta from Lowford, so it's going to take pretty much all day to get there. And you guys find the roadway to be mostly clear. There's only one or two other travelers going here and there that pass you going the other direction, and no one going the same direction as you're going. You're having no trouble at all. Everybody give for me a perception check.
7.
17.
12.
Okay. That's most unfortunate. So give me your marching order there. As you're walking.
This time I'll be walking with the paladin, kind of asking questions quietly as continuing our discussion back from the previous day.
Tell me about
day.
The lighthouse.
Yes. How many choir boys was it that time?
No.
Right.
And all of a sudden there is a rustling.
Hey, I thought I killed you last night.
In the bushes, just as you guys are about to come across the bridge over the other tributary, and you're just about to cross it, out from under the gulch underneath the bridge, rush a bunch of creatures.
Are they trolls?
These two are giant lizards. So there's blue and red.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side is a giant frog. And that's green there.
Does the frog?
I hope you guys don't get taken out by green, because then you'd have a frog in your throat.
I know they have something in their throat.
So
initiative.
9.
16.
And Arlen.
15. Non-natural 20.
And Alistair.
No,
and Noan,
10.
Woo.
And Adri,
16.
Wham.
Something out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, and then as a bonus, I'm gonna go attack with my short sword, green.
So yeah,
you're going after red here.
Oh, no, I threw a dart at red.
You only get a bonus if you do an unarmed attack.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then
you could run up and hit.
Then I will. Arm. I will go unarmed attack.
To red.
To red, or yes, no, to green. To I green. Meant to say green.
Okay.
I'm gonna punch it in the face, and then we have 12.
No.
Okay.
It just dodges just aside.
Okay.
Okay, and then Arlen, what do you do?
Fireball or firebolt the
yeah, that's something different.
Red.
Okay.
11 or yeah.
11? No. Just barely misses. You can see it singe the skin as it goes by. Okay. And then red goes. And he didn't like the fact that you went after him, so he runs up.
God.
And tries to take a bite out of you. And gets a 20 to hit.
Yeah.
Natural?
No. Total.
Goodbye.
Am I going to have to heal you again?
And does 30 points of damage. Just kidding. Does 6 points of damage.
Yay.
He's still alive. What a surprise.
And,
jeez, what's a high pitch?
And no one. You get to go.
Okay. I will do a back kick on red. And a natural 1.
Okay, no, it just sails right up and over his
shoulder. You kicked the sorcerer. Roll damage.
And I'll spin kick red again. That was a 1, but it hit a 19.
Nice.
I'm keeping it.
Yep, it
hits. 4, what do I get? Plus 3, so 6.
6 points? Okay. That's a red again? Okay. Okay, well, that seemed to dent him, but there's still not a whole lot of damage there. And what about?
I will swing around and try to swap the blue one.
It's sitting on the table there, in the clear, please.
17 plus 4 is 21.
You would definitely hit.
Okay, and I will roll a d8 for that. I'm doing it so far. That's for 6 points of damage. And then make a dex save, as I will breathe lightning at him on top of that.
Okay, so you hit him pretty hard. And he gets a 15 to save.
He saves, but he still takes 4 points of damage.
Okay.
Another humming sound, another piece of metal, then a crackling sound as lightning arcs across him.
You smell ozone, and that actually seemed to hurt him. He seems the most damaged of all of them. Okay, and finally, green gets to go. And he goes after you, Alistair. And it's a natural 1.
Oh, that takes a nat 20. I heard natural 1.
You're too taken aback from all that damage. Okay.
If you were Spider, you'd be Alistair.
Probably. Alistair, top of the round.
I'm gonna hit him again. Aw, 8.
No.
No.
Definitely not. And Blue goes and tries to bite back at you, Gwenville.
Awesome.
And gets an 11. No. So that's not going to hit you.
Bonk. Off the shield.
And then... Arlen, what are you going to do? You got a frog trying to bite you.
Bleed profusely. No, he doesn't. He has a lizard.
I'm going to cast the spell False Life. Which lets me get... 7 temporary hit points. And flip back to this page. do you want me to roll the d20 for the wild magic table?
I've already got that figured out.
Okay.
So nothing wild.
Cool. So I have 7 temporary hit points. And that's my turn. I believe.
Actually, no, sorry. You do need to roll d20. Go. Fine. I had that backwards.
Now roll on that one.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Oh, no, the chart's awesome.
Yeah, the chart is truly amazing.
That's the only time I'll ever root for one.
Next up, Adri.
It's ridiculous. Okay. When you're being attacked.
I'm going to first throw a dart at red.
If you do that, you'll be getting an opportunity attack from green because you're standing right next to him.
Okay, then I'm gonna not do that.
Yeah, you'd be turning your back to him to do that.
Okay, so unarmed strike to green. There's a 6.
Okay, that will not hit.
Okay, then bonus attack. I'm gonna try to kick it with a... Well, that's like 23, so...
That definitely hits.
Okay, and then damage would be...
Oh, nice.
6.
Okay, he's looking a little beat up. Still standing, but a little beat up. And then Noah, you get to go.
I will do the dragon's jaws, which will initiate a kick up under its belly, which doesn't work. But the upper jaw, which is an elbow to the spine, a nat 20.
So you're able to feint with your foot, get him to dodge aside right into your elbow.
Okay, so what do I do? Roll it damage twice?
Roll damage twice, yes. Okay. Two of whatever die you're using.
Okay. Wow. 6.
6 to red?
Do you add the bonus twice?
No.
No.
Yep.
No.
Okay.
Okay, so you elbow him square in the face there. And then he didn't appreciate that at all and turns and tries to bite at you. Feet. And gets an 18.
That might hit.
You have your...
And does 4 points of damage. As he sinks his jaws into you.
I scoff.
And then, Gwenville, you get to go.
Did you want to activate your racial ability? Do you get one at first level?
Why don't you read up on that while we're figuring out and you can come back.
I don't have anything like that.
For your race, you do. I just don't know if it's at first level or not.
Okay, well, why don't you read up on that while you, Gwenville, why don't you go?
Yes, sir. Okay, I will continue my assault upon the blue lizard thingy. For a 14.
You hit.
And I will roll another 10.
10 points?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you impale it on your sword and it just slowly slides off into the ground. Oh, your flail, too. You whack it with your flail and it just crushes the skull and goes down. But you have a sword, you have a flail, okay.
There's no racial.
It could be level 3. I thought he got Hellish Rebuke at level 1.
Okay, and the green one goes.
And attack me again?
Were you able to hit it this time?
No, I miss.
Okay, no, so it turns to Adri and tries to bite you.
Mm-hmm. Ribbit.
And gets an 11.
Nope.
Does that hit your armor class?
Nope.
Okay, you're able to dance aside.
What a
deal. And top of the round.
I'm going to hit it.
Alistair, go.
How many points?
You're going to attempt
it. It was 11. No.
Oh, it would have. 19 plus 5 is 24.
You definitely hit.
Aw. 4 points of damage.
Okay, just a glancing blow on him?
Yeah.
Okay, he still looks pretty beat up.
It skittered in the right direction.
Yeah. And then, Adrian, you get to go.
Okay, I'm going to short sword attack green, which is 10.
10? No.
Oh.
Just misses.
Okay. I can do a bonus with
no,
that?
No.
Okay, okay.
No, it's not a monk weapon.
Oh.
So you,
it's
a one-handed weapon, though.
Actually,
a short sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As long as
so
your offhand
is unarmed.
As long as your other hand is empty.
It is.
That's yes. Yeah, that's okay. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. Okay. And then I'm gonna go to kick it again.
You go, girl.
With a 7.
7? No. That's a... So yeah, he's dancing all over the place. Ribbit. Yeah. And then Arlen.
Firebolt in the face.
You sound unsure about that.
Yeah. Wow. Reason to be unsure.
Total?
That would be a 6.
No.
2 plus 4.
Okay. And Noah, you good to go?
Okay.
Both crying.
I'm going to do a double punch. 24.
You hit.
And a 22.
Okay, you hit with both punches. Right. Still apparently reeling from that elbow from the previous round.
So 5 plus 6, 11.
11 points to him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you punch him again, and you just hear this, you know, cracking noise as your fist meets his skull and he keels over. Okay, and Gwen.
Feel special.
Guess I will go 1, 2, 3, 4, and attempt to finish off Green Boy.
Get it off the fire there. Yeah.
7 and 4 is 11.
11?
Mm-hmm.
No, just misses. Okay. And the giant frog leaps and ends up, you hear a loud splashing sound as it lands in the river and disappears from view.
Disengage?
It uses disengage action, yes. Okay, everybody roll me a nature check.
That's worked so well for me recently.
19.
And continuing the good rolls of 6.
Non-natural 20.
7. Continuing the trend of an 8.
Everybody on the left side of the table, you guys, once again, these guys appear to be starving. You can see their hip bones and their rib bones through the you know, muscles seem wasted away.
Are their hides worth anything again?
Not anymore. No. You burnt them and slashed them and hacked them.
Nice going.
Bashed them.
I never hit.
He bashed.
I did not burn him.
Technically, I had blood.
You burned him. True.
What do you mean?
Use the after.
This one just has a few scorch marks on it, though.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the trip to Civitas Cataracta is more or less
uneventful.
Uneventful, yeah. You do pass, as you get closer to Civitas Cataracta, you do actually start running into other travelers. Everybody seems to be going to the city, with the exception of just a few folks heading back. I mean, like one or two folks heading back in the other direction. Everyone else all seems to be headed to the major city.
In a hurry, does it seem?
What's that?
You're just traveling, or they like seem like they're in a hurry to get in the city?
Well, everybody seems to be there with a purpose. There's no doubt about it. You guys start climbing up out of the woodlands in the last couple of miles. And Civitas Cataracta is in a great bay of the mountains. It is on a cliff, and it is backed up by another cliff. And you can see why people call it the Waterfall City. A great river pours over the upper cliff and flows through the city. And the city itself is built over the river. And it apparently just flows through one side and then just flows out the other side.
So pretty.
As you approach the city, you guys find out that you are not alone. There is an enormous line of people trying to get in. There's probably 100 other folks. Some of them have carts and obviously are tradesmen with their wares. Other ones seem to be dressed up in fancy attire, maybe other ambassadors like yourselves. But there are just a enormous number of folks. Guy in chainmail carrying a halberd comes sort of boredly walking down the line and says to everybody, please have your gate fares ready. 1 silver for each passenger, 1 gold for each cart. Please have your gate fares ready. one silver for each passenger, one gold for each card. And then about 15 minutes later, comes back up the line saying the same thing. And you guys kind of realize where the great wealth of Civitas Cataracta comes from, as the high road runs right through the city. So unless you want to divert well out of your path in either up to the dangerous paths of the mountains or the more treacherous paths down by the lowlands, if you want to take the high road, this is the only way to go. So they make an enormous sum just in tolls from going through the gates there. And while you're standing there waiting for your turn to enter, all of a sudden you guys are covered with a large shadow. Initially you're panicked, but then as you look up, you see a giant airship gliding overhead. It appears to be a large wooden ship hanging by intricate rope work to an even larger cylindrical envelope or a balloon above it. And it drifts quietly past you and disappears behind the walls of the city.
Cool.
Okay.
Pirates.
Okay. I wonder how much that thing costs to bring into the city.
One platinum.
Or three.
100.
Mm-hmm. Have we entered our gate to pay our tolls yet?
You guys are getting close. And all of a sudden, Noan, mm-hmm. You're suddenly aware of a presence beside you. And you look down and there is a smallish human, probably 5'6", 5'7".
Yeah, that's my height.
And he's wearing kind of nondescript dark robes.
Do I recognize these robes?
No, you don't. It doesn't look at all familiar. And he says, hey, buddy, you want some torque? Got some torque, man. You want some torque? And you know that torque is a term for it's a root. It's kind of a deep purple root. And it's for the elves. It's kind of like a mild stimulant. However, for non-elves, it is kind of a euphoric effect. The elves actually, you know, like I said, it's a mild stimulant like coffee. But the elves abstain from it when they're out in this realm just because they know that it's sort of lowbrow and, people view torque users as being low and base.
Torquies.
Yes.
So I, using my cantrip, I make my eyes flare.
Say torque or torque?
Volcanic red, and I say no.
The root.
Okay, man. And he kind of just drifts back into the crowd, and heads back down the line a ways. So, in a few minutes later, you guys make it up to the gates there. And there's a number, probably half a dozen guards, all in chain or plate mail, carrying various heavy weapons. And there's another guy in ceremonial robes, and he's taking tolls there. And as your group approaches, he looks at you and says, five pedestrians, five silver, please.
I cough up a silver.
Silver. Well. Collect it, give it to him.
Silver.
Okay. Remove one silver from your inventory.
I'm going broke.
And as you give it to him, you give him a friendly hi-ho.
Hi-ho?
Hi-ho.
Hi-ho silver.
Away we go. You see that? You said that root was a torque or a twerk?
Twerk.
T-O-R-K.
I thought you said twerk. So like, what, does that come from the Miley Cypress tree?
Yeah, well, a twerk? That's not even euphoric.
More depressing, really.
Mm. That's why I was laughing. I was like, "Did he just say twerk tree?"
This mile is not quite right.
So you guys make it into the gates, and as you can see, the city is basically two large curtain walls that go from the upper cliff straight out across the plain to the precipice at the lower cliff.
How long are the walls?
The walls are about 400 or 500 feet long,
Is that a cliff it butts up to take it?
Yes. So the waterfall comes off the upper cliff, mm-hmm. flows through the city, and then goes down the other cliff. And both cliffs are several hundred feet tall, so it definitely protects the city from attack from either direction. And you guys realize that this empty plain that you're on, it's all farmers' fields and so forth. Anyone trying to attack the city would be in clear view of the walls and subject to their attack for a long time before they could even reach them. It's a beautiful defensive position.
Awesome.
Put catapults on that upper cliff and fire down on the city.
Yeah, pew pew.
We need to find who now?
The Baron?
The Baron,
yes.
So you guys get into the main gates, and the roadway goes basically straight into town. And then it's, a good 50 feet wide. It's an enormous roadway. And it actually goes over a large arched bridge over the river in the middle of town. And then the bridge also basically necks off to the main keep there in the middle of town. And you notice a lot of traffic heading in that direction.
Merchant traffic or just foot traffic?
No, at this point in time, it seems to be all people in fancy robes that you saw earlier.
Okay.
And it's coming from both sides of, this side and then the other gate on the western side of the city.
I guess I'll just follow the rich crowd. Is there like an obvious like keep or high tower or whatever?
Well, interestingly enough, on the left side, buried in the middle of the town, basically on an island in the middle of the river, is this very large tower that sticks up. And right there, mm-hmm. but the actual baronial keep occupies the center of the city, and you see that the waterfall falls down from the cliffs and then just flows underneath the keep. It's actually built over the river.
How convenient.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess we I want to keep an eye out if I see where the local market is, but we'll head to the keep, I imagine, to deliver our missive.
Yeah.
You would expect the water marketplace appears to be on the southern side of the road, and there seems to be two squares set off from around the river there, and in fact people seem to be taking down stalls and so forth that.
For the day
there. Okay. You said you follow the all the other well-dressed folks, and they're basically in a large line in front of the entrance to the keep, and there you're just sort of stopped. There are a line of, like I said, probably about 50 other people in front of you, all well-dressed. Some of them seem to be holding scrolls similar to your own. Some of them are on horseback. Some of them are on foot. And they're just standing there waiting. From time to time, the whole line moves forward just a touch, but you guys are just stuck in the queue there.
What time of day is it?
Is there a guard nearby? Yeah, what time of day is it?
You guys arrived here at the end of the day, so it's probably 4 in the afternoon at this point.
I think it stands to reason we might want to come back
tomorrow or some other
day. Try to get here earlier before the massive.
Would people stay overnight, though?
Let's find a guard and ask. Okay.
Well, funny that you should say that, because coming down the line, you notice someone in fine robes with the Baron's heraldry on it, and he seems to be stopping at each group and writing something down on a roll of parchment there. And he is actually flanked by two guards.
Let's get into the line before he reaches the end.
Okay.
I think we're already in line.
And he does work his way down the line to you, and he comes up and says, are you here to petition the Baron?
Yes, we come with a petition from Loafford.
He says, you have the Baron's deepest apologies, but his slate is already full for the day. Could I please have your names? And tomorrow you will be first on the list to be seen.
Define first as in the first or just in the first large line of people.
He waves his hand back towards the line of people in front of him. Well, of course, all of them that are there ahead of you will be ahead of you in the procession, but you will be first group to be let in there.
Alistair Breston?
He writes that down. Shall I just write that down for your group? Are you the spokesman?
Yeah.
Okay. And from Lowford, you said, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Alistair Preston from Lowford. Got it.
How do you decide who goes first?
He just shows you the list. Whoever here is on the top of the list.
How many people are on the list?
There's, like I said, about 50 groups in front of you.
Oh. Reach into my pocket and pull out 5 gold. I think that's our name at the top of the list, isn't it?
He looks around, and he says to the two guards at him, "Oh, look what's out there, top of the battlements." And he points in the other direction, and he kind of does a little, put his hand out behind him, and he slips it into his pouch. He says, "Yes, I think this puts you very much up the list." And he writes some sort of notation down next to the your name.
As soon as this is done, I'm giving you a gold piece.
I suggest we find lodgings for the night. I, for one, do not want to sleep in a gutter.
What time do we have to get here?
He says, the gates open at 1 hour after sunrise.
Okay.
Where is the local inn?
Oh, we have many possible establishments here. I would recommend just slightly on the south side of the Great Highway here. There are a number of good inns. You might try the Green Dragon. And then there's a Saucy Maid. And then there's the wheat shop. They're all very good.
I think I will try the Green Dragon.
Is very good. You can't miss it. If you go...
Miguez has a Green Dragon on the side.
Indeed it does.
Wow.
Go down into the southeast quadrant of the town and ask anybody there. They'll be able to give you directions.
Okay. Thank you.
And you guys notice that in front of you in the line that... the people there are sort of doing the same thing you're doing, discussing what's going on, and then they're breaking up and
do I see any other money changing hands?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're sort of wandering off in the various directions as they're headed to their...
Okay. Head to the south side there to find an inn.
Okay. So you guys, in fact, find the Green Dragon pretty easily. The people that you come up to, depending on which one of you are asking, are either very helpful or just completely intimidated and very helpful.
I'll ask, yeah. I guess.
And,
I don't want to get on people's bad sides.
I'm not getting on people's bad sides. That was quite nice, thank you very much. I could eat in his face.
Yeah. And the Green Dragon does seem to be a fairly decent establishment. It's in good repair. The great room looks very warm and welcoming. There's a good fire going. The savory smells of stew and roasts are in the air. And it does seem to be about 3 stories tall and probably has a couple of dozen rooms. And looks to be very pleasant all the way around.
I'm the proprietor of the establishment.
So you come in the door, and one of the serving folks, motions you towards the back of the room. And sure enough, in the back of the room is the bar. And standing there at the bar is a number of people, including one large, portly half-elf. And he has a very kind of chubby, friendly, happy-looking face. And he's busy detankering a couple of... tankards of ale for one of the barmaids.
We'd like to get a few rooms.
Oh, very good, very good. Yes, busy, busy time, busy time. Everybody's coming to the keep. Oh, boy, the Baron's so busy. Yes, well, what would you be needing? One room for all or several rooms? We'd have a couple of large rooms that can accommodate whole groups.
How much do the large rooms cost?
They would be 1 gold per night. And that, of course, comes with dinner and breakfast in the morning.
I've got it.
Got what?
If we all chip in too, silver would work.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. She just volunteered to pay for it all.
That would be quite fine.
Very good. And
we'll be opening a tab.
He picks up a small bell and rings it, and a small girl shows up, and she says, "Yeah, Papa." Says. A little flower. Please show these folks to the room 12, please. He says, "Yes, Papa." And she looks up at you and gives you the cutest little curtsy you ever did see.
Oh my god.
And starts waltzing off towards the stairway in the back of the place that apparently goes upstairs.
Let's follow.
She gets up to a rather ornate Swagger. Oaken door and turns an iron key in it and unlocks and swings it open. He says, "This will be your room." And she holds the key up, kind of waving it back and forth. She kind of tenuously gives it to you, Gwen. And you guys open the room, and it's actually very, very nice. There's a little kind of parlor area in the front with a couple of sitting chairs and a small table. And in the back, there's actually basically about half a dozen curtained off little sleeping rooms or cubicles.
Find the one that's slightly largest, so.
And the little girl still standing out there at the door says, "Please come down to dinner whenever you want, and breakfast will be in the morning right at dawn." And she gives you, once again, the cutest little curtsy you ever saw and then closes the door quietly behind her.
Can you demonstrate that to him?
Yes. There you go.
Oh,
that was really
my gosh, that's so cute. Oh, he didn't do
the cutest DM you've never seen.
Okay, so what do you guys need to do? Anything?
I will go just remove,
remove
my gear.
Probably take the armor off.
Yeah.
I assume I'd have something.
Swap into some common clothes and head down for a meal.
Okay.
Common clothes on you?
For a dragonborn, yeah.
You're like, walked down like
so
this.
So
not much different.
You change from your golden scale to your golden scale.
Yes. And a cloak.
Yes.
With a hood.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good to go to dinner.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you guys find, like the last remaining table that can seat five together, and apparently the proprietor's wife comes up. She's also a portly human with rosy cheeks and a happy smile, and she takes all of your orders. Anything in particular you guys feel like?
No, whatever they're having.
They've got stews, roasts. They've got game. They've got
roast.
You know, vegetables. So
they got game.
Yes, game of all sorts.
I've got mad game. I'm just
I hear that mad cow disease is bad for you.
Only if you're not a dragonborn. I'm going to order just a nice hunk of whatever, this beef.
Okay.
An ale. I'm a dragonborn. What do you want? We don't do starchy roasty vegetables and thingies.
Starchy roasty.
But I want to show her the broken emblem I have and say, "Have you seen anything like this before?"
She looks at it and says, "No, no, I can't say that I ever have. No."
Okay.
I'll take
it back in my pocket.
Okay. So she takes all of your orders, and while you're waiting for the food to arrive, you guys notice the sort of the bustle of the community here. There's apparently in the back of the room you also see a set of stairs going down, and occasionally from time to time some sort of serving lad comes up carrying a cask of what probably is ale to bring up behind the bar. And occasionally meats are brought up there, so there must be a chilled room down there. Meanwhile, the kitchen's all the way in the far back, and food keeps bustling in and out and in and out and in and out. Within a short time, you each have a tankard of ale and your dinner orders.
Commence to consuming.
Yeah, food. Eating sounds good.
How are your ramen noodles?
Ramen-y.
They're actually cooked man noodles.
Mm.
Oh.
Just kind of watching the crowd and seeing how the crowd is at.
The crowd is a mixed group. You get the feeling some of them are traders and merchants. Others also seem to be ambassadors like yourself. And there's a lot of griping going on. With the traders, the griping seems to be the general state of things. And, that things are just plain bad. A lot of people talk about fogs the crops are dying and animals are withering, and ambassadors seem to have the same sort of opinion. Most of them seem to be sent here mainly the same problem with that you have. Their towns are struggling and are in trouble. It's sort of the general gist of the conversation that you overhear.
Are any of them looking at us?
Everybody's looking at you guys.
I'm bronze and shiny. I'm kind of hard to miss.
And there's the guy with the fiery eyes.
It's
they're purple now.
It's the rare person who's not staring at you guys. You guys are luckily kind of in the back corner. But
I have a hood, by the way. I look human.
Is anybody looking a little too hard?
Nope. Just sort of, you know, more than idle curiosity. Let me tell
you. There are probably some kids who are just like, what in the world is those?
Those?
Hey, they're kids. I haven't been to most school. If they go to school at all.
Proprietor's wife approached, but I want to ask him about where I would find an apothecary.
Let's see. Oh, yes. You can definitely find one in the northeast quadrant. If you have some spare time tomorrow, I'm sure the shops will be open.
Okay.
When I'm done with my meal, I'll retire off to bed.
Same.
Okay. Well, hardly have you finished your meal there, Alistair, and before your extra mug of ale has arrived, when all of a sudden a shrill scream pierces the din of noise.
From where?
A small girl, her skirts and pigtails streaming behind her as she runs, dashes up from the cellar stairs in the corner, and bolts to the wall behind you. She stares at you guys with eyes wide with terror. The source of her fright is not too difficult to determine, as someone, or rather several someones, at least you think they are people. The first appear to be human, and the second a dwarf. But there's something terribly off. They walk with kind of a shuffling gait, and their heads loll to the side at an uncomfortable angle.
Oh, no.
The first one takes a swing at a bar patron closest to him. He connects with a sickening crunch, and the patron flies to the floor and doesn't move. All of a sudden, chaos just breaks out. People scream and bolt for the exits, shoving each side aside in panic. Tables topple, crockery breaks, alien food splatter the floors. The disturbing figures continue to emerge from the stairwell. The first one locks eyes with you, and a chill goes down your spine. There's no spark of life there. There's no intelligence. And no soul. And that's where we're going to stop.
Dungeon Master notes. Wait, what? The fighter types just left all their armors upstairs in the room? Oh my gosh, that's Dungeon Master gold. You can't plan for that kind of fun. Well, we'll have to see what comes of that. It did mean I have to change things up slightly for the next encounter, but it sure did heighten the tension for the players. But you'll have to wait and see what happens next episode with that. As with the last episode, Matt did a tremendous job trying to stave off his cold. Trust me, it could have been a whole lot worse. He did a great job of trying to spare your ears there. And next episode, it's all gone, so you just have to suffer through this one. What will happen next? Is the party doomed without their armor and weapons? Are they going to fall in rapid succession? We'll just have to wait for the next episode to find out. Until then, email us at relicofthepastpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us at Relic of the Past on Twitter and Relic of the Past Podcast on Facebook. And thank you for playing in the world that lives inside my head.